Anthony Baez or many other victims. But this time, as Norman just said, we have this video that enlightened the world to see really the aggressivity and the brutality that these cops did against Eric Garner. I have to say, though, if the NYPD and the law enforcement at large want to help the communities to reduce crime and prevent innocent death from happening, we have to seize this moment and study this video and use it as a way to make improve the quality of their work, and even maybe to call on police officers to have new technology equipment that they can carry so that they can document their conduct while apprehending people in the neighborhood.
Norman, the chokehold that was used on Eric Garner, it's banned under police policy, but have the police done enough to ensure that it's not applied?
Absolutely not. From 2009 to 2013, 1,022 complaints about chokeholds were filed with our Civilian Complaint Review Board. Where was the CCRB? Where was the former police commissioner? Where was the former mayor? There should have been an outrage over the fact that something that was banned under all circumstances, complaints of 1,022, someone missed doing their job. And I think we have to press for absolute adherence to prohibitions on chokeholds.
Should police wear cameras?
It's really tricky. I know the progressive community is saying that, but the cops are not going to be able to turn it on and off, because they'll turn it on and off when there's a favorable interaction. So are they going to be able to have surveillance 24/7? Is it going to be a database of all of us congregating and assembling? You could have a very Orwellian 1984 scenario in New York City in America. What I say to people, think through that advocacy of having cops have cameras on their uniforms.
We're going to continue this conversation after the show, and I want to encourage people to let people know about this conversation and to weigh in yourselves by writing to us at democracynow.org. I want to thank Edith Baez, mother of Anthony Baez, Kadiadu Diallo, mother of Amadou Diallo, Deborah Goodman, arrested for filming the NYPD, and Norman Siegel. I'm Amy Goodman with Aaron Mate. Thanks for joining us.
This is Donna with your WUSB concert billboard for Sunday, August 3rd. Alan Toussaint will be at Joe's Pub beginning at noon. Long Island Bluegrass Quartet will be at the Tin House Music at Restoration Farm, Old Bethpage, beginning at 2. Winston Erie will be at Navy Beach in Montauk, 5 p.m. Parallel will be at the Frank Melville Memorial Park in East Setauket, 5:30. Jack's Waterfall will be at the Stony Brook Village Center, 7 p.m. Tom Penn Nonet will be at Treme in Islip. James Maddock will be at the Rockwood Music Hall, Stage 3, 7:30. Gent Treadley will be at the Brooklyn Bowl at 8. On your concert billboard for Monday, August 4th, Science and Soundswell will be at 89 North in Patchogue, beginning at 7. Jesse Terry with Tina Schaefer and friends will be at the Bitter End, 8 p.m. John Paris will be at B.B. King's, Manhattan, at 8. On your concert billboard for Tuesday, August 5th, J.K. Hodge will be at the Bayshore Bandshell, 12:30. Buddy Merriam and the Mandolin Experience will be at the Mejut Beach Hut, 5:30. Double Play will be at the Dublin Deck in Patchogue. Marsha Ball will be at the Stephen Talkhouse in Amagansett, 8 p.m. Looking ahead to Wednesday, August 6th, Toby Tobias and friends will be at Harborfront Park in Port Jefferson, 6:30.
Do you love concert and festival music? Go to Wake and Bake, 5 to 7 Tuesday mornings on WUSB Stony Brook.
very good evening to everyone listening. It's 6 o'clock, 6:08 actually, and you're listening to Off the Wall on WUSB Stony Brook. I'm with you tonight. With my good friend Emmanuel.
Oh, hello. How are you?
Hi, Emmanuel. How are you doing?
I'm not doing anything. I'm just here, not being distracted by anything at all. Hang on, let me just get rid of that.
Well, it's good to have you.
Thank you.
I'm really
thank
glad
you very much.
Here.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. It's just been one of those days, you know.
Yeah, it really has. It really has.
And it's just going to continue. It's going to continue being one of those days until it does something else. Hang on, just changing the settings on this device here so that doesn't bother me anymore.
No, please take your time.
Yeah,
we've got time here. This is our time.
It is an hour of time, that's for sure. 6 to 7 on Tuesday nights here at WUSB Stony Brook, where Kyle and I talk about whatnot for the better part of an hour. And sometimes we have phone calls as well. And sometimes we get letters, and sometimes we get demands.
Sometimes we mix in a little what have you, but mostly what not.
Yeah, mostly.
The like is there too, yes. So, here we are.
Yes, here we are. You're behind the board tonight.
I am running the board tonight, if you haven't noticed. I'm really apologizing if I appear somewhat distracted, but everything is under control here at the console, here at the controls.
It does seem that way, doesn't it? The piano player playing quietly in the other studio, and we are basically sitting here in a completely darkened studio because apparently we didn't pay our electric bill.
Yes.
And that's okay. That's all right. No problem, because we don't need that. We don't need electricity. We just, well, I guess for radio you probably do need some sort of electricity, but it doesn't matter. We don't know how it works. It just gets out there somehow, and you're listening to us, and that's really all that counts, right?
That is all that counts.
Off the Wall, we're here live. You know, it's last week was the first time we were here live in a long, long time. And it's funny because as soon as we started going live on this show, we kind of got yanked on the other show. For those who weren't aware, we got preempted at the last minute last week, and we're preempted again this week. I don't know. Maybe we're not raising enough funds in the constant fundraisers that are going on over there, but It's good to have some time. So I'm happy to spend that here.
I am too. I'm learning about all kinds of things that I forgot about. I thought I knew how to run a radio station, but
that's what everybody
now
says.
Now I do.
Yeah.
Now I do. It's all coming back to me.
Well, okay.
No, I actually had to make sure the piano player was keeping nice and quiet over there.
Well, he's standing up now, so I think he's getting ready for some kind of crescendo or something. But okay, you want to talk about radio? I've got a story for you about radio.
Yes.
That just might remind you of what it's really all about.
Mm-hmm.
This actually is, it goes back to June. But like I said, we haven't been on live, so we've got a backlog of some stories. Some of them more interesting than others. This is about a group of kids who broke into a radio station in Western Australia and put themselves live on the air for an impromptu late-night show full of swearing. Yeah, the kids were aged between 8 and 14. They broke into the buildings of the wanky, oh, good Lord, Yupananapuru Community Radio Station in Fitzroy Crossing back in June. The first police heard of it was a phone call from a listener concerned at the swear words that were being broadcast. Station manager Angie Stahl said she had previously given the children lessons in community radio. Apparently, they took an interest. They worked out how to make the studio go live. You see, over there, apparently, the stations go off the air at a certain time. So they just broke in. They were able to turn on all the microphones, turn on the panel, and switch everything on in the right way, and decided to do a bit of a show themselves.
Very good.
Unfortunately, their show mainly involved swearing, which was a little punk, a bit punk, she says, a bit avant-garde, but also breaches the broadcasting laws and or codes of practice. So the cops got a call from an outlaying station ringing up to say, I think you've got some kids on the radio. They're busy swearing. You better go bust them. Ms. Stahl said the children appeared to have entered through a window in her house, which adjoins the studio. We got to visit this place. It sounds awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, she's got a bunch of kids that she teaches. She lives next to the radio station. You can get into the radio station by crawling through a window in her house. It just sounds like my kind of neighborhood. Now, while in the house, they ate some chicken nuggets and dyed their hair. They dyed their hair. It was a full night out for these kids. They were making themselves at home. No damage was done. They were just hanging around the house, cooking some chicken nuggets. They dyed their hair red from some hair dye I had lying around.
Okay.
But after just enjoying the quiet space of the house, they found the keys to the radio studio and decided to let themselves in.
Of course.
Not long after going on air with their expletive-ridden jokes, police officers arrived to put a stop to the radio broadcast. Rather than having charges pressed against them, an agreement was reached with the children, their parents, and elders for them to perform sorry tasks.
Sorry tasks.
Sorry tasks. That's a thing.
Wow.
Yeah, so your kids are bad, you make them perform sorry tasks. I was quite angry at the time, said Ms. Stahl, but I'm more relaxed about it now and can see the funny side. Criminal charges might have had serious consequences for a couple of the kids, so we decided we could work it out amongst ourselves, and that worked out a lot better.
Sure. I thought you were going to say they had to perform on the radio, maybe some sort of...
opera or Shakespeare. That would be cruel and unusual.
Perform sorry tasks. Okay.
Ms. Stahl said the children may have a future in broadcasting. They'd come in a couple of times before to do a couple of shows and programs, so I taught them the basics. It's good to see the knowledge was used correctly.
So they did a decent job for their...
Technically, yes. It was the broadcast itself that left a little bit to be desired. But, you know, as we know here at WUSB, you know, you're as good as your training.
Yes.
And if you're to take care of certain things technically, if you know certain things to talk about and not talk about, or ways to present yourself or ways not to present yourself, that kind of thing sticks. And I was taught this a long, long time ago by some of the really finest people in broadcasting, because it was incredible how seriously people took it, even though we were a very small station. Even smaller before we went on the air. We were a carrier current station that only about 10 people could listen to, but they still put all this effort and made it into a professional environment. And that kind of thing makes a big difference. So, hats off for this, though. This is that's how you teach kids radio, you know? Maybe not having them crawl through windows in your house and dye their hair, but just getting an interest, having them interested. That's the important thing.
Yeah, and it sticks.
It does.
They feel like they can do something with it, and that's the thing. That's the thing with knowledge, wisdom, facts. You can figure out, right? But wisdom is something you have to teach, and hopefully they can teach their friends and create a community themselves.
Radio is fun.
It is
fun. If you're out there listening and you want to get involved in radio, this is a perfect place to do it. If you're local, that is. And we certainly could use the help. And it's a blast. It never stops being a blast. I've been doing this for so long. And never do this, folks. Never ask your co-host on the air, Kyle, can I have a swig of that beverage over there? Because my throat's getting a little bit dry. Okay, let's grab this.
Do you need privacy, or
should I keep the mic up? I won't make...
You're not going to squish it around or anything?
A professional knows how to do things like this.
Okay.
I mean, I'm smoking. You don't hear that,
okay,
right?
That's true. I don't.
All right. Don't tell anybody that. You're not supposed to smoke anywhere near this place.
No, you can't.
You can't. Okay, I'm going to go on a bit of a tirade here. But, you know, when I first started at this place, you could smoke in the studio. Then, okay, you can't smoke in the studio. Then you could smoke outside in the hallway. All right, now you can't smoke outside in the hallway. You got to go downstairs. Well, you can't do that anymore. You can't even smoke outside anymore in this campus. You have to go off campus to smoke. You want a cigarette? A long version of Freebird, because you're going to have to get in your car and drive to another town to light up before you can come back. All right? That's how things have gone. You used to be able to just light up anywhere you want. That's how things have changed. Kids don't smoke. Smoking is awful, and I don't smoke, and I never have. But I see things happening, and it's kind of weird how things change. We were in the deli the other day, and I was pointing, And I was pointing at the cigarette display, and I noticed it's only like about 5 cartons of cigarettes there.
Not even cartons, packs.
That's what I meant. What's the difference?
A carton has like 20 packs in it.
I don't even know that.
Wouldn't
it's that
the be bulk quantity of a
isn't
of a
that
cigarette.
A case?
A case would probably be a big box full of cartons.
Oh, my God. This is why I never smoked. It was too complicated.
And then it's pallets, and then it's containers.
Anyway, yes, I was pointing, and there were only a few packs of these things for sale. Nobody was buying them. But mm-hmm. I remember it used to be a whole wall that people would constantly be getting all the time. It's a stupid habit. It's not cool. It's bad for you. It's expensive. But I guess that's one of the ways they get people to stop.
I've noticed there's like actually campaigns now, and this is something you've pointed out. You pointed out a long time ago. I don't know if we maybe had somebody had a little...
I'm sorry. Just finishing that drink.
No,
here.
No, it's fine. No, enjoy it. Please drink up.
Also, hit the microphone with the bottle. Okay. Right, yeah. I'm done.
No, we want you to be quenched. you've pointed this out that drugstores sell cigarettes in the past, and I've seen this whole campaign. I think at the Stony Brook LIRR station, they have a billboard poster there. That's the last place I saw it, and it was basically depicting. Something with like RX, you know, the whole prescription thing, saying like, you know, you wouldn't, your doctor wouldn't prescribe this for you, and it's like become a statewide campaign to some effect.
But you can buy cigarettes in drugstores to this day, I think, right?
Yeah, and people are trying to get it out of the drugstores.
I just don't understand how it ever got into the drugstore.
Right, it's a little weird.
I had this whole thing a year or so, kind of, was it something for asthma? Some kind of device that, you know, is useful.
Oh, something to measure your...
Make sure you know where you're getting it from. You might just be drinking the same thing in a bottle.
Right.
And